Welcome back to In the Studio right here on KBright Radio. I'm your host, Teresa, and today I am truly honored to introduce a guest whose heart for the next generation and the restoration of her motherland is absolutely infectious. Joining us is Mina Kim, the visionary behind the Build Up movement. After moving to the U.S. at age 12, Mina gained a unique perspective on the spiritual fingerprints that link South Korea and America. Today, she is a powerful voice for Korean reunification and a dedicated advocate for the underground church. Mina, I've been looking so forward to this. Welcome to In the Studio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be here.
Yes, Build Up Korea. Man, when I first met you, I didn't know what to think. You've met so many amazing people right here in California alone. Forget about the rest of the world, but just right here. So before we get started, will you lead us in prayer?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, thanking you for this precious time and the platform you have provided here at KBright. Lord, we specifically lift up the In the Studio program, and we thank you for the host, Teresa, and the entire team who worked tirelessly to share your light. We ask for your special blessing over this show, that it would continue to be the voice of truth and hope for the community. And may the words spoken in the studio today resonate beyond these walls and ignite a hunger for your word in the hearts of every listener. And as we discuss the work of Build Up Korea and our new beginning in Orange County, California, let your Holy Spirit guide our conversation, and may this hour be a bridge of restoration and a spark of leadership for the next generation. We give this time entirely to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Man, look at my goosebumps. I can't stop having goosebumps. You brought the Holy Spirit with you, because he was already here. I don't know what happened.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, wow. Okay, Mina, we'd love to start with your heart. How did you personally come to know Jesus?
So my spiritual journey actually began with a deep sense of loneliness. When I was just a young girl in middle school, I had this burning desire to learn English. So I'm an only child, but I managed to persuade my parents to let me move to America to study. And I eventually moved into a boarding school in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
During my high school years. Before then, I lived with my aunt. And even though it was my choice to come here, my reality was such much harder than I imagined. Yeah. And being separated from my parents at such a vulnerable age was incredibly difficult. And my parents were just working so hard back in Korea to afford my tuition and my education. And they were like the typical tiger parents who gave everything yes. for their children's future. Mm-hmm. But because of that stress, their health was often failing. Mm. And every time I heard that they were sick, my heart would break. And I felt helpless and alone on the other side of the world, which kind of led me to call for help for my God, which my mom had led me to since I was born.
Wow. Was there a specific God moment that transitioned you from a private citizen to a public advocate for Korea's freedom?
Oh, wow. That's a fast forward.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I personally encountered Jesus when I was in middle school at a worship service, actually. I saw a lot of my friend's age was like 12, 13, or 15. They were speaking in tongues in this worship service.
Really?
And back then I couldn't. And that sounded so cool.
Does that mean you can now?
Yes. Yes. So I tried to mimic at first what they were doing. I was like, la, 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 asala, dasala. That's what he taught me. but then I eventually I encountered the love of Jesus, and I felt the weight of my sin being covered by the love of God. And that moment, I was just so surrendered. Mm-hmm. Although that was a beginning of the journey, my spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to 2020, I started my podcast in the corner of my room during COVID, because I failed in my startup business right before COVID. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to go and what to do in my future. So I just sat down in my room and started doing my podcast. I liked teaching English. Mm-hmm. because education is was one of my dreams. Mm. So I started doing that by translating American news into Korean. And a lot of my subscribers on YouTube joined to learn English from me.
Wow.
By listening to me translating American political news into Korean.
That's how you got there.
Yes.
That makes so much sense. I'm like, how did she start this life?
And I had no interest in politics before.
Really?
And my parents used to tell me, Mina, you should pursue politics or become like a celebrity. Because my dad.
You really could be.
Yeah,
you probably are now.
No. I don't
You're a celebrity. Yes.
But that's how the moment came to me. I realized how biased the media can be and how anti-biblical they can be. In promoting agendas and ideas to people. And yes.
So what does life with Mina look like? I'm sorry. Like, I'm just trying to imagine, fast forward to today, right now.
Mm-hmm.
What does your everyday life look like?
Right now?
Yeah, literally.
Literally, everyday life. I used to be financially okay when my parents were okay.
Uh-huh.
But right now, ever since I started Build Up Korea, my father, he went into an accident and became quadriplegic.
Oh, wow.
And last year he went under coma.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Right now my life is financially very difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm having a shalom, joyful days, the most joyful days in my life. With that hardship and difficulties, it feels like carrying the cross with Jesus. And I finally I have a lot more to go, but became a friend of Jesus and the bride of Jesus by carrying his cross.
Oh, man. That cross is so heavy.
It's so heavy. Trust me. I know you know it's heavy, but yes, it's been so heavy.
No, tell me more. What does that mean?
So ever since I began this Build Up movement, that was a miracle itself. After I started my podcast, people were kind of like mocking my channel.
Yeah.
Although
what's the name of your podcast?
It's called M Kim TV.
Where can they see it?
On YouTube channel.
Okay, on YouTube.
So in 2 weeks, I gained about 140,000 followers. Because there were a lot of people in Korea seeking for truth.
Yeah.
And Korean mainstream media, they deliver the news from America by copying off of all the mainstream media like CNN, New York Times. Okay. I can say this, right?
Yeah.
And those media companies are biased. Uh-huh. And that's what I figured, you know.
Wow.
And we only get one side of the news.
Yes.
Not the other side. Mm. So I started delivering the other side, which was unpopular side.
That's
and
right.
People were so interested in
people can't handle the truth.
I know.
So weird.
Because that's fair. I majored in communications.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught that, you know, media should be the bastion of free speech and freedom. I mean, yes, an objective truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's what I was trying to do. And then I met Charlie on the way because I was seeking for truth and the platform that delivers that truth in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to America Fest in Phoenix and I saw thousands and thousands of young people gathered worshiping the Lord and at the same time hearing the truth message from Christian leaders of this country.
Yes.
And that just became the turning point of my life.
Literally.
And I started dreaming that, oh my gosh, God, I really want to bring this movement back to Korea because Korean young generation is going through a similar phase.
Yeah.
They're in confusion. And they're politically corrected by people around them, and they don't know what's going on in this world.
Yeah.
And as Christians, they have this responsibility to, you know, keep the freedom that they have in this land, in Korea. And yes, and that was the turning point, and I decided to bring this movement to Korea.
And so when you say Charlie, you're talking about Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
And you saw him at the conference.
Yes.
And I remember when I looked you up, because we met in person at a pastor's luncheon.
That's correct.
Not knowing who you were, you mentioned who you were, but I'm just so horrible at remembering everything. And so I had to not Google you, but IG search you. And so I looked you up and I did my research, and I realized in that moment while watching this video that I watched this video so long ago. And I was like, oh, this is that same girl. Like, what? I can't believe I just met this girl. And she literally has done so much with that short amount of time. And that's how God works.
Yes.
Right? Rapid fire. Like, he just excels. When you're obedient, that obedience is like blessed.
Yes.
And so the divine appointments start coming and all that. And you're like, who did you just put me in front of?
Oh, that's right. You get it.
I get
it.
Oh, my
gosh.
I've said yes to the assignment, girl. I know. I understand. I get it. And so watching you was kind of like that. When I met you, I didn't know. And then when I saw you, I was like, oh. And then I knew I wanted to talk to you. And I knew I wanted to share your story. I didn't want to be pushy, but I also felt conviction.
Thank you.
So I was like, how do I do this? Mm. I don't want to turn her off and make her feel like, you know, something, you know, big, or I'm a humble servant.
Amen.
And that's my heart posture. Like, that's where I sit. So fast forward, you said yes immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful because although I was born and raised in America, my blood runs Korean.
Amen.
So I am a Korean American, and not having both parents now with me have been navigating this world without them for a few years, having someone like you to say, hey, this is what I've learned. Now let me share that, you know, that biblical truth with you. It's so cool to have leaders like you, because there are so many people, like you said, the next generation who's lost and doesn't really have access to the truth.
Yes.
So here you are from America speaking up and saying all these things that people actually don't want you to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine someone like me who doesn't have parents to tell her all the things that they need to know and hear. I get to now look at you, Mina Kim, Build Up Korea, and say, oh, I'm going to learn all this stuff from her.
Aww.
She's speaking biblical truth. She's not afraid of it. And, you know, it's going somewhere.
Mm.
There's meaning and purpose. And God has put these people in front of you, the divine appointments,
yes,
to make sure that you are well equipped for the information that you are sharing.
That's correct.
That's what I love.
Wow.
I love the passion you carry.
Mm-hmm.
I love the love that you have for Jesus. I love that you're unapologetically speaking biblical truth in an area and space where people want you to just be quiet.
That's still right.
Right.
Thank you so much for the good summary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's so right.
You moved to the U.S. at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
Did that distance help you see the spiritual fingerprints on your home country more clearly?
Yes, of course. Always, like, even in a relationship, if you're distanced away from your parents,
yeah,
you feel how precious they are.
Yes.
Away from them.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing. Like,
yeah,
I have the Korean blood. I'm a Korean citizen.
Mm.
And now looking back at Korea, it just gives me so much patriotism,
yes,
and love for the country.
Yeah.
And we're not only the citizens of heaven, but we are citizens of the country that we were born and,
yes,
we live in.
Yeah.
So I love Korea and America,
mm,
and my God's kingdom.
Why is the restoration of North essential for the spiritual soul of the South rather than just a political goal?
Oh, wow. That's a deep, deep question. That's a good question. Thank you for asking that. So before I get onto that, you really need to know the historical background,
yeah,
between Korea and America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people realize, but in the late 1800s, America actually sent the first missionary to Korea.
In
late 1800s,
wow,
1880s.
Wow.
And back then, Korea had no missionaries at all.
Yeah.
And they were persecuted when they tried to come in.
Sure.
And then we had a king, of course.
Yeah.
And all the other people were slaves of the king.
Mm-hmm.
And then that missionary came in and built schools and hospitals.
Yeah.
And then the missionary was called Appenzeller.
Mm.
And his first student back in Korea was called Syngman Rhee. He later on becomes the first president of South Korea.
Wow.
And you know how he became the first president of South Korea in the legacy of the American missionary? So he, at the school, learned English through the textbook called the U.S. Declaration of Independence.
Oh, wow.
And the U.S. Okay. Constitution, and of course the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And there, Syngman Rhee gets an idea of freedom. Because back then, Korean people had no concept of freedom.
Yeah, because there's dynasty.
Yeah, it was a slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he, you know, he gets it.
Yeah.
And then he starts to mobilize people who would like to pursue freedom that comes from God. And then people started to gather. And the king thought that was a treason against him. So he puts him in jail. And in jail with the death sentence, he stays there for 5 years. And within that 5 years, he encounters Jesus Christ because the missionary sent him a Bible to the jail in his prison cell and also a weekly or monthly diplomatic magazine. So he can study English and also the diplomatic, you know, view from American perspective.
Wow.
And then just like Genesis and Joseph's story, how he gets out of the prison. So the king actually needed somebody to interpret and translate English so that he could talk to American people. And then the king realized that Syngman Rhee is the only one that knows English in the entire country. And then he releases Syngman Rhee out of the jail, sends him to America. And Syngman Rhee was a genius. He finishes undergraduate to PhD within 5 years.
Wow.
Princeton, Harvard, and George Washington University.
Oh, yeah, he was a genius for sure.
He was a genius, right? Yeah. And then he completely gets the idea of how America founded its nation. And he dreams of founding a nation, a republic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why the Republic of Korea actually... Okay, yes, this all makes sense. Okay,
I know, right?
I'm not a history nerd, so I don't know any of these things, just so you know.
It's fascinating. Yeah,
it is fascinating.
Yes, yes. Can I go on for like 2 minutes?
Yes, absolutely.
So in 1945, so fast forward to 1945, back then, like Korea was colonized by Japan after that king resigned.
Yeah.
And then 35 or 38 years. And then World War II ended. Japan was defeated by America and they lost their power. So they had to release us. That's when Korea became independent again, 1945. And then 3 years later, Syngman Rhee establishes South Korea because after that World War II, North was occupied by Chinese and the communist forces, and then South was occupied by American forces. And that's where we have North and South Korea divided in 1945. And then 1948, Syngman Rhee establishes South Korea with freedom, with the same spirit of the U.S. Declaration of Independence and U.S. Constitution. And he starts the Constitutional Assembly with the exact prayer that American founding father had prayed, because he studied that in Harvard, Princeton, and all these, you know, prestigious schools in America, which used to be very, very conservative and foundational back then, back in the days. And then 2 years later, after that 2 years of joy, we run into the Korean War, of course. And then Korea was almost lost our land. We only had one city left. And communists were just invading us, coming all the way down from the north to the south. And of course, we thought that America would defend us because Americans were occupying us, right? But then this was another godly thing that 5 or 6 months before that Korean War began, then U.S. Secretary of State Dean Acheson, he excluded South Korea from the U.S. defense perimeter because they thought that Korea was not on useful land, not a worthy land to protect.
Really?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Interesting.
So Korea gets, you know, excluded from the U.S. defense perimeter, which means American president or American troops don't have to defend us, even in that Korean War. And that's when a minister, Billy Graham, comes into the picture. He sends President Truman a telegram. We actually have the original version of telegram on Google, saying that South Korea is a legacy of American missionaries. So we need to protect them and fight with them, because there are so many Christians in South Korea. And 6 hours after telegram was sent to President Truman, President Truman decides to intervene. And later on, he sends General MacArthur with the Incheon Landing Operation. And we completely find back our land. Not the whole thing, but just the southern part. Yeah. And we became free again.
There's so much. I have a million questions right now, but I'll save that for another time. I will just say this. Our founder of the station, Percy Crawford, he's the founder, is no longer with us, but he was the spiritual father to Billy Graham. So to hear all of this right now is very full circle.
I had no idea.
It's so cool. I love what you just taught our listeners, myself included. The history lesson is so much more important than what I probably give credit for, right? 1945, the only thing I know about that year is that's when my dad was born, or my mom.
Wow.
My mom was born in 1945. My dad was born in 1944.
So it was special.
Yeah. Yes. And so my dad actually was at the area of the north side. And during that wartime,
yes,
migrated down, wow, not even knowing that that saved his life and changed the trajectory of his entire life. And had he not done that, we would not be here today. I would not be here because I would be stuck somewhere else, right?
Of course, yes.
Probably not even alive. But with that being said, the history of how Korea has defined its borders, I almost feel it's like today we can say that America turns 250 years old.
Yes.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
That's history, right? And so this union of two countries is so much bigger than I maybe realized.
Yes. And another fascinating fact is Korea was born in 1948, the same year Israel was born.
What?
Yes. So America, Korea, Israel, I think we do have, you know, it's meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are now second largest missionary sending nations after the U.S.
Absolutely.
So because of the blood that American missionaries shed and also the troops shed for Korea, we became not only free, but second largest in missionary sending in the world.
That's crazy. That's so good. Okay, in 2026, right now, what is the most critical invisible battle being fought right now within the Korean government?
Korean government. So I think it's a universal spiritual war happening around the world, actually. Mm-hmm. I believe what I saw in the past 4 or 5 years in the United States from probably 2020 to 2024, I saw a collapse of economy here, collapse of family values and biblical values. So pretty much same things happening. And also the enemies that we are facing, because geopolitically Korea is such, we are in a hard position. We are surrounded by China, North Korea, and Russia.
Oh goodness. And we're like this tiny little half an island
surrounded, you know, by ocean mostly and North Korea.
But so mighty, right?
So mighty.
Small but mighty.
Right. But because, I mean, after, you know, the Korean War, Korea became like a top 10 economy in the world within 70 years. And I believe that's because of our Christian
God's
faith,
grace.
Our ancestors, our parents and missionaries with their help of faith and faith, we could become that nation.
Yeah.
But because of that, we were settling down. Our church started to going towards a comfort zone, caring more about people and fearing people more than God. And that made them, you know, go into sleep, including myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was awakened recently.
I can attest to that as well. I didn't know what it actually meant first when you were talking about surrendering. I probably in the last 2 years just recently said, okay. Like I think you don't realize that you're not surrendered until you actually surrender.
Yes.
Because you think you're going to church, you go to Bible study, you do all the Christian stuff.
Yes.
Right. And we're like, okay, I'm Christian. I've been Christian like for many years now. But I didn't know.
Yes.
I truly did not know what it meant to be a servant of God, to be a believer, and to truly surrender. I was on the worship team.
Oh,
and
I can see that in you.
You're so funny. And of course, it's this song. I practiced it like so much, right? Over and over and over. And then come Sunday morning at like 9:30, it's time to sing. Okay.
What is it?
I surrender. Literally. Literally called I Surrender.
Wow.
And I can't even get through the song. I look at my pastor and I went like this, and he goes, no, and I go, oh no, I'm serious. I can't do it. And then I whispered, I think I'm gonna cry.
Wow.
Yeah. And sure enough, I couldn't hold it together. I turn around and I just start like bawling. Like it's not just like tears coming down. And if you know me, if you knew me then, like back in the day, you would know I'm not a crier in public. I'm a private mourner, if you will. So I cry privately. So to cry on a, you know, on a stage in front of your congregation, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, oh, wow. This is, oh, I see. You're bringing me to my knees in front of my church.
Wow.
I guess this is how it's going down. Yes. You want my, you want me to, you know, be on my hands and feet and surrender truly, mm-hmm. whether it's your pride, ego, oh, your yes. reputation, any, mm-hmm. all and everything. And I said, I will. And I do. Basically, it was yes and amen, right? Mm-hmm. Yes mm-hmm. and amen. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time I felt like I just completely surrendered. And ever since then, I feel like my life has changed.
Amen.
Like,
praise the Lord.
The way you can walk in His glory and just really feel the love of Jesus because you're putting Him in every room that you walk in.
Yes.
You look for Him in all the people that mm-hmm. He has created with a purpose and all that. And all that to say, we only have like 1 minute left, but
wow. Wow, how time flies.
I know. So for anyone listening, if you want to follow along and hear the remainder of this interview, because we're going to go on for a little much longer, mm-hmm. you can go to kbrightradio.com/inthestudio. I'm sitting with Mina Kim from Build Up Korea. She has a Orange County chapter that she's building here. Could you give us a brief and then close us out?
Of course, of course. So Orange County, California is a special place for Koreans, because there are so many Korean Americans living here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a cultural, I would say, foundation is actually made in mm-hmm. LA in California. Yeah. And there's a weird parallel between yeah. the cultural leadership mm-hmm. of the two locations of Korea right now is mm-hmm. a very, you know, K-pop and K-culture is very famous.
Yes.
So I think California can be a stopping place before we go across the Pacific Ocean yes. to East Asia.
Yeah.
So this is the place where great influence can start. Mm. And that's why we came here. Of course, God's calling.
Yes.
And we are building a chapter, meaning that it's going to look like a small group with a current event discussion, how to look at this world biblically for moms and also for students. So that's how it's going to look like.
Wow. So. I love that. Right here in Orange County, I'm excited because I'm from Orange County, and making new friends, godly friends, mm-hmm. is always fun. There's purpose in what you're doing. For more information, you can find them on Instagram, buildupkorea.official. Mina, how can Korean American parents better engage their children in the mission of revival and reunification?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say two things
okay.
shortly. So number one is let them be independent. Once they go over the age.
Wait, you just asked Korean parents to let their children be independent. That's crazy. I love that. Yes.
Yeah,
let's pray over them mm-hmm. so that, you know, parents can actually fulfill that.
Yes.
Because I think that is a call from our King.
Of course. Yeah. And number two is teach them biblical values.
Yeah.
Since from when they're young. And first one, I want to talk about my own experience.
Yes.
Of dealing with my father.
Okay.
He didn't let me be independent until I was 30.
Oh, and what did I say earlier? That number 30 is real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to manage my finance because of that.
Yeah.
Because my dad always provided me
yeah.
things that I've needed
yes.
because I'm an only child. Mm. And at 30, my dad became quadriplegic after mm. that accident and now in a coma that he hasn't been able to financially support me,
yeah.
which left me and my mom in the position where we
have to be completely
independent
rough.
Of everything.
Yes.
So I've learned the hard way.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I think it's better for parents to just let their kids be independent and sometimes let them go through the fire or hardships, difficulties.
Make mistakes to learn.
Mistakes, yes. Yeah, yeah so Ooh. They can learn in a younger age.
What would you say helped you kind of like in that chapter where you're like probably scrambling around trying to figure things out?
Mm-hmm.
What helped you?
A sermon. I know it sounds cliche,
yeah.
but when I was going through a financial, like, what would you say, lowness,
uh-huh.
I went to this church in Texas.
Okay.
And I was expecting God to tell me something through that sermon that day. Mm-hmm. And then the title of that sermon was Tithing.
Wow.
And then I at that moment, I knew that God was trying to teach me how to go through this financial backlash.
Gotcha.
Yes, yes.
I struggle with that one, too. I hope my pastor's not listening. But that 10% mark is really rough for me.
Yes.
It's not an idol, but it does have a little bit of a strong hold. So I'll call it a partial hold on me. So it's just, I don't know why it's so hard. I think it has to do with being independent, not being married, and just relying on my own financial, you know, responsibility, right?
Yes.
And not having parents to, you know, if I mess up, my parents are already gone.
Right.
You know, like they're in heaven. And so for me, what else is there? I don't have these little like emergencies.
Or safety.
Safety nets. Yes, no safety nets. So I do tend to hold a little stronger than I should.
I see.
So tithing is, you know, one of my difficult things. I'm very generous. I can give and give and give until I'm blue.
Right.
But when it comes to like my finances, I'm very meticulous on who and how and when and where.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I share with you about the tithing sermon real
Absolutely.
Quick?
Absolutely.
Because that changed my life.
Yeah, changed my life right now, girl. Go. Go, Mina, go.
Oh, come Holy Spirit.
Yes, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Let's go.
So what he said about tithing was we have to give the first fruit. Yeah. Meaning that we have to give the very first fruit. Sometimes people would confuse it because when they get their salary, they would pay it first to their credit card company and to the IRS first. Mm. And then with the rest of the money, they pay tithe out of it. But that's not right way of getting the blessing from God. It has to be the first fruit, because if we, let's say, earn like $10,000 a month, and then if we pay 1/10 of it to God first, then God has the charge of the rest of the money. He can make it 30, 60, or 100-fold.
Yes.
Because we're giving authority to God's kingdom with that amount of money. But we can't really, I mean, IRS and credit card company can't really do that.
No.
To our money, right?
Right.
Only God has that authority.
Yes.
For that miracle and that financial, you know, multiplication.
Okay, I'm getting closer.
I wish we had more time, but
I'm getting closer, but that just means we have to spend more time together.
Of
That's
course.
Okay, Mina.
Let's go to that crab place.
Let's go to that crab place. Oh, throwback to a conversation we had offline. How can Korean American parents, like you said, in this time, you said, give them more flexibility or basically independence, right?
Yes.
But how can they, I know you answered the question.
That's okay.
Written on paper. Mm-hmm. And that's a great answer. But tangibly, what does that realistically look like?
Parents to lead their kids or children in a great way.
Yeah.
Take them to the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, more of that.
Children these days need more discipline.
And direction.
Yes.
Like nose.
Right.
Not coddling.
Right. That's why I heard a lot of young people, especially young men in America right now, are turning to Catholicism or even like Roman Catholic or Russian Orthodox.
Really?
And
why?
I was wondering why.
Yeah.
And I asked them questions and they said, oh, I need more structure now. Because this world is so chaotic that I need more structures.
Wow. And
And that's an unexpected answer, right?
Yeah, that
you
is a very...
You would think that people, young generation, would love freedom more than...
Yeah.
Freedom as in like different freedom.
Sure, sure. I know what you mean.
Because true freedom means, you know, the blood of Jesus and cross that we have to carry.
Yeah.
With Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's actually really interesting. I didn't hear that. I didn't know that. But that does make sense. I used to work with kids. I'll just say it like that. Mm-hmm. I used to work with children, and I know that what children want the most is love and stability.
Yes.
But they all needed the same thing, which was direction.
Yes.
And some would say I was strict, but you can see the joy on their faces.
Yes.
And you can see them mourning when I left. So it was like a very interesting kind of thing to hold for them in their lives. Like, meaning they didn't necessarily like that I was so strict because I had so many rules, right? Mm-hmm. But there was reasons for those rules. Don't touch the stove, it's hot.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, instead of saying, oh, yeah, touch that, see how hot it is. Yeah. How about, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to trust in me mm-hmm. and don't touch it.
Right.
Like, trust God when he said, don't eat the fruit mm-hmm. of this tree, right?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm your father. Just listen and be obedient, right?
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm God, but what I am saying is in that authoritative position that I'm sitting at, you need to abide by that.
Yes. The Otherwise, order is
yeah,
important.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so important. Order versus chaos.
Yes.
I mean, who wants to live in chaos? It's so crazy.
Exactly.
I can't think, even yeah. think straight when it's so chaotic. And like the studio right now has like 10 people in it. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I could be overwhelmed, but I think, you know, God has an interesting plan.
Yes.
And that's why he's brought these people to be mm-hmm. witnesses. But yeah, chaos is not something I like to walk in.
Right.
And so I always have like that, you know, there's order is mm-hmm. important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I just think it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that lack of is really, it's growing. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important for leaders like you to step up and speak up and say the things you're saying, because right is right and wrong is wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's all biblical. It's not about personal preferences. It's not about what I believe to be true. It's just a fact in the Bible.
Yes.
And if we are believers, as believers, true followers of Jesus Christ, we will submit to the Bible mm-hmm. and we will read the word share the gospel mm-hmm. and then be obedient, because that is his love language.
Yeah.
So if we can't do that, if we're constantly saying, oh, but like, what if we were just doing half of, no, it's, where's your conviction?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you could fast forward to the day the 38th parallel no longer exists.
Wow.
What is the first thing you want to do on the other side?
Oh, geez. Does it have to be formally answered? Or
it could be anything. No form. Just whatever comes to mind right now. And go.
I want to host a big, big, big worship outdoor.
Okay.
Outside of,
yes.
Right next to the statue of the Kim family.
Yes.
Yes. Or okay. Kind of like destroy it with my
weapon. Yeah. Yes. I love that. Can we have hot dog?
The hot dog stand?
Yes.
And tteokbokki stand?
Yes.
I want,
I want everything that they weren't allowed to have.
Yeah.
Like right next to your worship yes. festival.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yeah.
I want to open Five Guys in North Korea. Oh my gosh. You know, Five Guys recently came into South Korea.
What?
And people lined up for 5 hours.
Really?
To get the burger.
Really?
For about 2 years.
Five
it's
guys?
It's been about 2 years now.
That's
yes,
so
five
funny.
Guys. It's like everywhere now here.
Really?
Right?
Yeah. That's so funny.
And we got to bring In-N-Out as well.
I know. I was like, come on. We need to bring In-N-Out. In-N-Out is like our Christian, like, you know.
That's so right.
Yeah. But okay. Five Guys it is. So Five Guys next to the tteokbokki.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That would be actually very cool.
I know.
Because they have never seen any of that.
Mm-hmm. Bringing that free market and, you know,
yeah.
godly food. Cold burgers. I'm
exactly.
just kidding. Because I love burgers so much.
Okay, where are the best French fries?
Oh, best French fries.
In America. California.
I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed if I say this.
Okay, say it anyway.
McDonald's.
Oh! Okay, I am disappointed because
Sorry.
Why? Because I literally, what did I do? I banned McDonald's. But you know what? I will say you're not wrong.
Really?
They are really good for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Mina, don't eat those anymore.
I know. I wish they would go back to the days when they would fry it with tallow.
Yes.
Instead of plant oil.
You know, that's a totally different topic that I am not going to go down, because that is a rabbit hole for me. I am so into like... You have no idea. It may not look like it, but I really just am so disappointed with how our country has managed yes. The food, the water, and everything that we consume mm-hmm. as you know, just regular old consumers who have money to spend, and still yet we can't find good quality things at a good price.
Exactly.
I find that to be very interesting. So I'm about to leave everything and go start a farm somewhere in Georgia.
I can join you. Oh,
goodness. Yes, Mina, we should open up a farm and have your friends join us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can milk the cows. You can milk the cows and you can get the eggs.
And get some labor done and discipline done.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Mina, thank you so much for being so vulnerable with us today. Awesome. Listening to your heart, it's clear that this isn't just a mission for you. It's a divine calling. It is literally the way you live your life openly, authentically, and just so beautifully. You reminded us that while the borders we see are physical, the restoration God is doing is deeply spiritual. To our listeners, I hope Mina's story has stirred something in you today, a reminder that God can use our story, our history, and our heritage to impact the world in ways we never imagined. Let's continue to carry the people of Korea in our prayers this week. Thank you for joining me today in the studio here at K-Bright Radio. I'm Teresa, and it is a joy to journey in faith with you. Until next time, any final words?
Let's not be victims of this world, but be transformers of this world.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
If our listeners are interested, you can go to IG, Instagram, buildupkorea.official. Until next time, stay encouraged and stay rooted in His love.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.